You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JSE has closed its doors for the day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, but also incorporating Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. I've amalgamated the two simply because there is so much to talk about today. Wayne McCurry, thank you very much for joining us. What do you think about the sets of results that we've seen today? Maybe start with, what should we do? Adcock Ingram.
Yes, I mean, Adcock's not a bad set of results at all. I mean, the share price up 5%. Everything was 11%, everything. Yes. Revenue was up 11, earnings was up 11, dividend up 11. Everything was up 11%, but quite a good breakdown, you know, an analysis of their market. And it didn't look too bad, actually. And I think the market, you know, rewarded them reasonably well. The share up 5, as I said. And the share doesn't look expensive. We all know that Bidvest has increased their stake in Adcox to above 50% quite recently. Apparently, they were trying to sell it and or sell their share, and no one was interested in buying a minority share, so they increased it to a majority. But on a 12 PE ratio, no, it doesn't look bad, to be honest.
No, it really doesn't. 5% up, as you say. And just before that, on the Stock Exchange News Service this morning, there was Bid Corporation Limited, its audited results for the year ended June the 30th. Greg, that was up also 2.5 to 3% today.
Yes, it ended up 2.9%, 311 Rand. I think Wayne was pointing out on his Twitter, it's sort of old school stockbroking once again. Companies come out with good results, nice dividends, and the share price moves up, which is something we've sort of become unused to. So much politics moving the market and macro news that sometimes these results get overlooked. Look, it was as high as 317 Rand around about midday today, so there was quite a strong buying that flattened out towards the afternoon.
Yeah, Home Choice International is something that need not detain us, but I have to mention it because it came out with its results today. But it doesn't look as though, I'll go to Greg here, Wayne, if you don't mind. Greg, it doesn't look as though it's traded today.
No, there hasn't been any trades today.
And you don't know what it does, do you?
No, not a clue.
But Wayne, you were talking about you'd love to have a glass of whiskey at some stage this evening, and Distell Group Holdings Limited came out with its results. And I spoke to Richard Rushton, who's an excellent CEO, I think. I spoke to him this morning, and you can hear that podcast on strictlybusinesspodcast.com. But it's interesting the way that people adjust their alcoholic imbibing patterns given economic circumstances. What do you think of Distell?
Look, it's not a bad company, but it's a very tough industry. But just talking about people's drinking habits, I went to a presentation essentially on breweries, yes, and they are losing out heavily. The actual beer sales are losing out heavily to spirits, especially gin and tequila.
And here we
the
go.
People are literally drinking less beer. So you might have cut down a little bit because it's quite marked how the beer sales have gone down.
Yes.
And in total, people are...
Yeah,
I think it's Lindsay's fault. And in total, people are drinking less alcohol in total. So, you know, it's not a very easy industry, quite frankly, at the moment. But the Distell results were, you know, they got decent earnings growth, but flat volumes. And they say that, you know, the South African wasn't too bad. Very good growth in Africa. International margin went up quite a bit, but the earnings were actually down. You know, normalized. They say it's up for Forex, but I'm so sick of these normalized and all these adjustments and everything. But I suppose the telling thing is dividend up 7%, and I suppose that tells you everything about the results. If people increase their dividends, it couldn't have been too bad.
I was actually listening to you, Wayne, on another show, and you were saying these days you can have 5 different versions of hedge,
yes,
but you've got to look at cash flow and dividends, and that's what we've actually been, reduced to, but I mean, that's what we're left with, right?
Yeah.
You talk about going back to the old school, Greg. You were talking about the old school stockbroking environment, and maybe it's time to do that now and say to ourselves, well, the Bidvest and Bidcorp and Distells of this world, which are good, solid companies with great track records and really, really good management, instead of having a look at the high flyers, maybe we should be going back to our basics now and look at dividend payers with good balance sheets, with good management.
That's been the theme. I mean, Imperial had a really good day yesterday on their results. The share price up another 2.3% today. I'm sure we're going to speak about Motors, but that share price up 11%. So it's exactly that what we're saying. Back to good dividend paying. All these guys that studied CFA, it hasn't been a complete waste of time. We can use you to analyze stocks again.
Yeah, we'll see. Dis-Chem, Wayne McCurry. I have a fictitious hedge fund, and my hedge fund has been short of two things, British American Tobacco and Dis-Chem. And I've been right for the last six rand on Dis-Chem. What do you think of the trading update for the 5 months ended 31st of July?
Well, look, they did tell us a little bit of good news. Sales actually looked quite reasonable. They actually looked good. And they got their stock down massively. I think about 600 million rand reduction in stock. So obviously their cash went up. But they did give a little subtle warning there. They work on this rebate system. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but they get a rebate from their suppliers. Now, they bought significantly less stock, so they will get significantly lower rebate from their suppliers, but they didn't quantify that at all. So the market, you know, I think it was flat or maybe slightly up on the day, and the 19 PE ratio, you know, they've got to deliver half decent earnings here. So it didn't tell. I don't think it was negative, but that whole story about the rebate worried me a little bit.
See that, yeah. They call it an unearned rebate of 81 million. But the share price, interesting enough, it finished at 20 Rand 89, which is up, as you were saying, slightly up 0.67%. But around about 2 o'clock, it was trading as high as 22 Rand. I'm not sure if analysts were maybe spending the morning going through that number, looking at that rebate, and maybe having a rethink. Did reasonable volume today as well, 4.5 million shares. That's nearly 100 million Rand's worth.
Greg, you spoke about Motors Holdings, and I'm looking at the short form summarized annual financial results for the year ended 30th of June. Share price up over 10%. What a performance.
Really impressive. I mean, revenue up 3.5%, but as we were saying earlier, increase in dividends, EPS was slightly low, but HEPS was up 2%. But I think perhaps the market was kind of anticipating a bad number, just because the mood has been so negative. And almost when the numbers are reasonably good, certainly in a very tough trading environment, they've done quite nicely. The share up 11%, 75 Rand 60. Whenever I see a share up 11%, I imagine somebody must have been short as well and scrambling to get back shares. It's the worst feeling. But that's what makes a market.
Yeah, so when you see a company split off something and or rather unbundle something, and do you say to yourself, well, immediately there's going to be value unlocked, or are you slightly suspicious? What was your feeling when you had Motors coming to your desk?
I must say, I'm normally a little bit suspicious. People don't unbundle things if it's good. And I think given the SA environment, the motor car side was very poor. But, I mean, this company is a 5 PE ratio, and it shows earnings like that. And obviously, then it's going to go up. The SA operations did okay. UK and Australia didn't do so well. But it's had a tough time since listing. It's fallen from 90 Rand to 70 Rand, and it's bounced that couple of Rand today, that 10 or 11% today. But I suppose at a 5 PE, I mean, I went to Euless Aluminium presentation. You know, if you normalize their earnings, they had a terrible time. I mean, the only thing that didn't have happened, the only thing bad that didn't happen to them in the last 6 months was their old factory burning down. Otherwise, everything else went wrong. But if you normalize their earnings, which they say they can get back to, and they're cutting 300 million out of their cost base, which they say they can achieve, I mean, this thing's a 2 PE. And, you know, the market cap of 800 million and you're cutting your costs by 300 million, you know. Yeah, so there are a couple of these things at incredibly low market ratings now, and like Motors, and the moment they deliver half decent results, it just flies.
George, you go back to your question there, Lindsay. There was a time when all of these unbundlings were virtually, you know, value unlocks, and then we went through a long patch where that wasn't the case. And certainly initially, if you'd been long Imperial before this unbundling, you probably would have lost money. But if you'd been patient and now these two good sets of numbers, you would certainly be making a strong fight back.
But there's also the case to say that when the unbundling occurs, people go long of one and short of the other if you're a hedge fund manager. And eventually they get it wrong. I mean, the example we always use, Greg, is the Goldfield story.
Yes, where everybody thought, well, that's what you do. You buy the gold fields and you sell the South African operations, which was Sibanye, and that was completely 100%. The opposite happened just to various factors, and in a cost cutting at Sibanye, and Neil Froneman there, which took the market by surprise. In 2015, that share went from, I think, at the unbundling price around 13 up to about 65 rand. So you have to be careful making, you know, assumptions. Something similar happened with NusPass. We thought, you know, the multi-choice will get unbundled. The overseas shareholders of NusPass will then sell their multi-choice because they only bought it to get exposure to 10 cent. That proved to be completely wrong. Multi-choice went down to about 95 rand. It's currently at 130 rand 15. It was as high as 138 area.
Wayne, what do you think of multi-choice? Do you watch television?
Yes, I do.
It's on television.
It's a difficult one to actually judge, because there could be severe competition coming with Netflix and all the other big providers, because the government, and rightly so, is intent on driving down data prices, and we're getting more fiber coverage. So they could face very, very stiff competition going forward. But of course, they've got sports, and overseas people are never going to provide, you know, sports, rugby, for argument's sake, they're never going to show it. So I suppose on balance, I'm reasonably positive about multi-choice, but I do recognize that they could be under severe pressure. And of course, if the rand goes, and the rand is a structurally weak currency, their content just costs more and more. But having said that, I'm reasonably positive. You want to pull your hair out when you go through the channels that I watch, and every single thing is a repeat.
Yeah.
You know, you feel so wonderful when you've only seen a program four times, almost like a new episode.
Wayne, am I right in saying that you're not one of these people that at the weekends, like your co-host on Business Day TV later on this evening, Channel 412, I think it is. You're not a football fan. You don't sit and watch.
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
No, I don't at all. I'm very busy on the weekends.
Tinkering.
Tinkering. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Davies is long of a company called, he won't mind me telling you this, Wayne, but he's along of a company called Avenge at 6 cents per share. And in that space today, Murray & Roberts Holdings Limited came out with their annual results for the 12 months ended the 30th of June. What is your attitude towards the construction sector? A bargain of the century or just something to avoid?
Well, look, Avenge, I can remember the days, and it wasn't that long ago, where Avenge was flush with cash. I mean, their cash was about 40% of their market cap they held in cash. That's changed. Of course, Murray's very different nowadays. It's more of an oil company nowadays. It's not really construction anymore. But, you know, eventually the good times will come back to South Africa. And when they do come back, by the way, we won't have enough people around to build the roads and the buildings that we need, because they've all disappeared essentially. But I'll sit back a little bit on that.
Okay. Greg Davies, on that
Murray & Roberts results, which came out around 4:30, I'm just looking at an intraday chart of the share price. And on those numbers, the share price did accelerate from around 11 rand to 11 rand 35. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 2.7%. So the market, welcoming those numbers. I mean, see they mention here a strong quality order book, 46.8 billion. That's decent. So market really didn't have enough time to really go through these numbers, because obviously we closed at 5, but so looks positive. I'll be watching this one tomorrow.
Yes, we will, and I'll be watching the dollar rand tomorrow, which is currently 15.37. The British pound against the rand is 18.80. The euro rand is 17.05, and the euro dollar is 110.80, let's call it, which is a slightly stronger dollar, slightly weaker euro. Let's see what that's done to the gold price. Gold price is down 5 and a bit to $1,537 an ounce. The platinum price, is this correct, Greg? $902 an ounce, up 35. Yeah. What is that all about? There's a 4% move in the platinum price.
Yeah, I think they're selling the palladium. That's down $10 at $1,471, and perhaps buying the platinum. I didn't notice at about 3:30 this afternoon, suddenly the platinum price started to kick up. I haven't seen specific news, but I just think perhaps people are switching into the other metals.
Okay, just before we go on, I mean, either the JSE hasn't had a chance to digest this, but I would imagine the platinum stocks tomorrow morning will come out of the blocks with a flourish.
Well, the index was up about 4.5%. Yeah, Impala, it's one of the favorites. Yeah, that finished at 83.4. 40, which must certainly be a high for the last 2 years, I would estimate.
Wayne, were you a buyer of Impala Platinum in October of last year at 16 Rand 50?
Unfortunately, not. But I can remember we discussed it quite extensively towards the end of last year, saying these shares are either the buy of the century or they're all going to go legs up. But we just, and I can remember we spoke about it specifically, saying these shares can double and double and double again. We're just not too sure whether it's in the next year or in the next 10 years. But I wouldn't be a buy now. I must admit I'm a little bit cautious now, although I do think that the differential between palladium and platinum will narrow, and that will favour the South African shares.
That is, that's a massive move, $35 up for the dollar platinum price. The Brent crude oil price is also up. It's only up 25 cents per barrel, but it's above $60, $60.39 per barrel for Brent crude in London. Let's look at the overseas markets. The Dow Jones, Greg, you've got a liver screen than I have.
Yes.
So give us the update, Dow Jones, S&P, et cetera.
Sure, the Dow's up 124 points. I'm just saying to a client, there's actually nothing to get excited about with the Dow. You need 300 points before you think we've set a direction, because that can be wiped out in a minute. But we'll take 130 up on the Dow. The Nasdaq up 3 points at the moment. The S&P up 7 points. So all positive out of the U.S.
Jolly good.
Until the next tweet. It's a new market saying now you're 1 tweet away from a fork.
Yeah, you'd be 300 down with a tweet. Yeah.
Wayne, how do you approach the cyclicality of a resources stock, for example? I mean, it's come down dramatically, or it had come down dramatically. Bottoms at 16 Rand a share, let's call it that, on Impala Platinum, and suddenly it's 80 Rand plus per share. How do you play this? Do you ride the wave, or you just avoid it?
It's relatively simple in theory, but very difficult in practice. The world needs resources.
Yes.
And to me, the best example is Kumba Iron Ore in 2015. I mean, that share got hammered, dropped from 650 to 20 or 25.
25.
Now, the world needs iron ore. We knew there's no more iron ore, new projects coming on stream. We knew the demand was still there. So you know the iron ore price has got to recover. You just don't know when. So I thought, as a fund manager, I thought I was very, very clever. As I said, Fordham from 650, I bought it about 120. And went from 120 to 20. But I held it, and it was back up at 400. I don't know where it is today now. But, you know, so the resource shares, they're actually poor quality shares over time. They are just too cyclical. But 2008, 2015, 1999, 2003, 1994, these shares got to such low levels that if you bought them, and you might have to wait a year, you might have to wait 2 years. Ask how long Beautiful Yoon waited for the platinum shares to turn. Eh? I think he waited 3-4 years for these things to turn. But the world needs resources, and you know it's going to recover, because the one good thing about the resource market, the price falls too much, the production disappears. So there is a self-correcting thing built into it.
I mean, you're saying Kumba was 25, but it just recently, 2 weeks ago, paid a 30 Rand dividend.
Dividend for 6 months.
Yeah, that's for the half year. So, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And something similar happened with Anglo American. It was around 52 Rand. It had massive debt, and it did say they're going to sell off non-cores and get that debt down. But there were quite a few people calling the end of Anglo American.
Now they're doing $1 billion share buyback because they've got too much money.
They've swung that story around. So, you know, if you can catch these resource counters, I mean, we're all moaning about bear markets, but there has been huge money to be made. Obviously, there's much more risk in that space, but there certainly have been big opportunities.
I'm listening to you two, and you're both experienced. So you've got decades of experience, probably about 80 years of experience between you. And it sounds so easy to me. If you don't fiddle around every day, if you don't go to your desk every day and look at the screen and phone up your clients, you just say to yourself, let's just play this commodity wave.
There's nothing easy about this game. There's nothing.
It's actually never been as hard as it is right now.
Oh, yeah,
you always say that. But with these tweets and this macro and this Brexit and all of these things, especially when, for example, the gold and the platinum and the currency and the politics locally here, there's just so many things. Every time you see a stock moving, you have to, you know, question yourself two or three times before you realize what's moving the stocks.
I don't believe you. I actually don't believe you.
This, Lindsay, let me tell you a story. The longer I've been in this field now, maybe 30 years. The longer I'm in investments, the more I'm almost coming to the conclusion that it's actually just luck. Some people are just luckier than others. It's actually, as I said, I haven't quite reached that conclusion yet, but.
But Nassim Taleb, he wrote a book called Fooled by Randomness. And exactly what you're saying there, Wayne. Sometimes you have phenomenal success and you're just lucky. I mean, you have to look at Christo Visa, for example. I mean, look at how his world has been turned upside down. And he was rated as one of the cleverest people.
Yeah. But look, one thing I've learned, outperforming by a fund manager is almost as dangerous as underperforming.
Yeah.
Because when you outperform, you think you know what you're doing.
Yeah, the worst sentence any broker can hear when you're speaking to the client, he says, my other broker says, can make me see red. Because they say, the broker is saying something that he's no ways he could actually know. But obviously they're trying to get the clients to trade.
So Wayne, would you say you've been lucky over the last 35 years? Because you're still there.
Look, I don't know. Because the other strange thing, in life generally you forget the bad times and you remember the good times. In investments, you only remember the mistakes you made. But to answer your question, I suppose I must have been more successful than unsuccessful because I'm still here.
Yes. But you're retiring soon, apparently. I mean, I saw a tweet from you.
I might be, and then I'm going to overtake you riding my bicycle, because you're so bad at bicycling, you're getting all the women and old pensioners overtaking you.
Oh, you saw my tweet, yes, with that bike. And it's a proper Dutch bike. It's very nice, yes.
You've got a bit of a granny bicycle there, Lindsay.
Everybody in Holland has a granny bicycle. We haven't got these stupid mountain bikes and those racing bikes that everyone has in South Africa because they're so competitive. We all ride around like Mary Poppins. The top five major movers on the JSE today are as follows. Motus up 11.2%, Aspen up 5.8%, Anglo American Platinum a 5.75% winner, South 32. 5.6% after a terrible week last week. Sibanye 5.5% better. On the downside, Hammerson 6.3% weaker. Hammered by Boris Johnson.
That's been hammered.
Yes, exactly
that's,
right. Yes, we've done that before.
That's a dividend, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not. It's also Boris Johnson. Well, it is, yes, but also Boris Johnson. Yeah. Supergroup down 2.5%. Mondi PLC down 2.25%. And Quilter, the company that I can't even bring myself to mention because of its stupid name, down 2.1%. Greg, to start with you, any of those on the top five and bottom five that caught your eye today?
Yeah, because I wanted to ask Wayne, if I can ask questions, but what do you think is troubling Supergroup there? I thought the numbers weren't that bad.
Yeah, the numbers weren't that bad, actually. But no, I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you can just see it looking at it. And I'm talking to some of our traders here. There's a very big seller around about the 28 Rand level. He just kept the share under pressure for quite some time. Most people looked at that numbers and thought that this is bullish. And we've seen, competitors, the Motus and so on, in that space doing reasonably well the last few days. But somebody's definitely getting out of the stock at the moment.
Okay, on the upside, what do we think of Motus? What do we do with it? No, forget about Motus because we've spoken about it. Wayne McCurry, Aspen, 76 Rand, 73 on the close, up nearly 6%. It's come down a long way. It's recovered quite nicely. What is your attitude towards this one? Wayne has been disconnected. Greg, while we wait for him to reconnect, what do you think of Aspen?
It's such a difficult one, really, and I'm glad to see it has rallied. There hasn't been actually any news. Perhaps a situation of an oversold bounce. I wouldn't start buying the stock until we see another set of numbers from them. Look, I mean, a share, I think the beginning of this year was 290 Rand, so it's done a lot of work on the downside. Was probably going to find some support sooner or later. So look, I think still a relatively high PE ratio, Wayne will tell us, but I don't want to say dead cat bounce, but another 5% today, it's interesting. Someone's taking another look at it for sure.
I think Wayne is gone because he's got to go to Business Day TV with
enough from me, yeah.
David Shapiro. So let's have a look at the closing JSE indices with you, please, Greg Davies.
All lovely and green today. Lovely. Banks up one and a third. Financials up 0.76. The industrials up 0.10. The retail is up 2.39. That's big. Gold index up 2%. Platinum, we spoke about, up 4.6. Resources up 1.7. That left the all share up 0.67, which is 360 points better. 54,256. Value of trade, a little light for my likings, 18 billion.
Not bad at all. And as we close, the Dow Jones is up nearly 200 points. The S&P is up around about 0.5% or 16 points. So quite a good Wednesday. That was the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, who is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, and Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at FMB Wealth and Investment. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.